Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. The John Hope Franklin Center for Reconciliation opens its 10th annual Reconciliation in America National Symposium tomorrow in Tulsa on the themes of civic engagement and reconciliation, the survival of democracy. The keynote address will be by Kenneth Morris, Jr., a descendant of both Frederick Douglass and Booker T. Washington, on his own path towards civic engagement. Other plenary speakers include 12-year-old social entrepreneur Jaquiel Naeem Jackson, the founder of Project I Am in Chicago that distributes blessing bags to the city's homeless and impoverished population, and organizational psychologist Todd Parker and Candace Barnes on achieving organizational reconciliation. Other sessions in the three-day event will feature academics, governmental officials, and educators discussing issues ranging from social justice and criminal justice to civility in civic engagement. My guest today is Dr. Dwayne Dickens, the coordinator for the Academy for Teaching Excellence at Tulsa Community College and a board member of the John Hope Franklin Center for Reconciliation. The symposium gets underway tomorrow evening at 6 o'clock with that opening keynote address by Kenneth B. Morris, which is free to the public and takes place at the Greenwood Cultural Center. Dr. Dickens, welcome to Studio Tulsa. Thanks very much for joining us.
Glad to be here.
This is the 10th anniversary of the National Symposium from the John Hope Franklin Center for Reconciliation. Can you give us a sense of what has been accomplished over those 10 years from these symposiums?
The last 10 years has allowed us to bring scholarship to the conversation of reconciliation, bring educators, bring community leaders, advocates together to talk about strategies for making some changes in the city, making changes in the nation regarding reconciliation. A lot of times we don't know what's happening across the country between groups, and the symposium allows that forum to happen.
How long have you been involved with the symposium? For a number of years?
I have been involved for about 4 years with the symposium.
And so as an educator yourself, what have you gleaned from the symposiums that have helped you in your own teaching and your own work on reconciliation?
I think one of the big items for me has been hearing other people's stories regarding reconciliation. Often, for example, with the John Hope Franklin Center, the topic that brings us into reconciliation is the Tulsa race massacre, the tragic experiences of Greenwood, and how there continues to be effort to make right a silenced history. That brings Tulsa together for that story. However, when we have various topics on politics and religion and social justice and judicial systems, we also hear stories from the Native American community, from the Jewish community, from different other groups around this country and this world who are experiencing a need for reconciliation, and it spans hundreds of years and all across the world. And so just getting those stories and recognizing we need to understand the need for reconciliation in the communities that affect us, but we also need to know that that's one verse of many other verses in this world, that there are wrongs that are happening, and we can share in strategies of how to improve the world.
When you look at the hymnal of reconciliation, I'd say today we need more reconciliation than ever. I mean, when you look
Absolutely.
At just about every issue, we're so bitterly divided beyond race, beyond creed, beyond political affiliation, just about virtually every issue, we're seriously polarized today.
Right. And we're forgetting that simple part, which may not be quite so simple, that we're all human. We all deserve to be heard. We all deserve to have equal access to what's right, opportunity, which is, you know, certainly our symposium theme for this year is dealing with the survival of our democracy, you know, civic engagement and reconciliation. So that aspect of, as a democratic society, we must have that ideal that everyone has an inherited right to have access to these freedoms. And reconciliation is about constantly reviewing where are these rights being ignored, trampled upon, and what can we do to make things better?
Well, let me ask you a question closer to home. What impact has the symposium had on this community, or in your mind?
Well, we several years ago did a survey on how Tulsa was feeling about race and if we had actually progressed. So we asked Tulsans, have you progressed? And it's time for another survey, but several years ago, we did the survey and saw that there had been some change from several decades ago, that we have improved. Now, this is not saying that we're perfect, because we're far from that, but Tulsans have more hope, at least according to that survey. Now, it would be interesting to see where we are today with all of, we've had so many crises around the country that make you question if we've progressed or not. But a lot of the times we're asking the question, do you have hope that things will get better? Do you have a better feeling about race relations in your community? Are you stretching out to other communities? Are we doing the things that we know conversation, we know understanding of others is helpful. Empathy is helpful to reconciling. But if we're not moving forward, if we're not feeling like there's hope that we can move forward, then we're in a dangerous atmosphere. And so I would say the symposium has allowed me to be aware of the temperature within Tulsa based on that conversation. Now, is everyone going to be in agreement that everything is perfect? Of course not. And everything will never be perfect. And I think the symposium just creates that atmosphere for conversation, open, honest conversation. And that is important to me.
One of the things I think I've seen from this symposium is, you were mentioning earlier, the idea that one of the basic ideas behind this symposium at the kernel of truth is the silence history.
Yes.
in the community. That has become far more open in the last 10 years. And that's been a long process, but I think the symposium's had an impact, don't you?
It has had an impact, just making more people aware of the various histories, not only of the Tulsa race massacre, but when you start sharing that history of the race massacre and how for over 8 decades it just was not talked about. Allowing people space to openly share those stories and not have fear that others will, one, doubt that it really happened. That's one of the amazing aspects of the history, is that people deny. It's sort of similar to the Holocaust deniers, that this could not have happened. And why people choose to deny it, we can't answer. I'm sure there are lots of reasons, but being able to provide historical documents, provide narratives, provide videos of things that happen, all of these events now, providing the scholarly manuscripts that people should find beyond capability of denying, makes it a more credible story for those who want to say it could not have happened.
And I think in Tulsa, it's not so much denying that it happened, but the magnitude of the event.
Yes. So I think telling the story allows us to put it within the context of other things within the country. I would add also certainly the African American Museum in Washington, D.C. Telling the story makes it more available for a broader audience. We also had, over this last year, a PBS broadcast that talked about Greenwood, the Black Wall Street, and that also brought a lot of attention to not only the John Hope Franklin Center, but just Greenwood in general, to make sure that story was out there. So social media has provided a great, the synergies are there for us to recognize that we cannot suppress how important this event is and should be known. There's legislation happening within the state to make it a required item to cover within Tulsa, at least in Oklahoma history. And there we have lots of examples where students are required to go to certain locations and hear this story. In Germany, they do it. Even in Montgomery, Alabama, when they want their students to know the story, they designate certain sites where the students must go and receive that education.
So go to the bridge in Selma.
Yes. Yeah. So just that narrative must be shared so that, one, we learn from it, two, we don't repeat those same mistakes.
What about the symposium's efforts in fostering a more frank discussion about not only Tulsa's past, but Tulsa's present? I think that's one of the things I've seen, is that you've seen a lot of business leaders involved with the symposium the past few years, really trying to change their culture to be more inclusive. And I think a lot of the efforts of the symposium has helped in that regard.
Certainly. And you can tell by the number of sponsors who support the symposium by sending, not only trying to sponsor by funding parts of what we're doing.
And just beyond maybe an HR representative, but
just being present at the symposium, sending employees and presenting at the symposium. Bama Pi is one. They came in this last year as a new supporter. We're going to be giving out blessing bags at the end of the symposium on Thursday evening to the community, homeless primarily. And they came in as a supporter to say, we want to fund a portion of those blessing bags. And certainly we have other supporters who have been with us for years, like the Schusterman Foundation, the Ruth Nelson and the Foundation, and many other, certainly the Williams Center, that we have multiple people who've just been with us. And educators have been supported this year by the George Kaiser Foundation, just to say, we want our educators present. And we want to support that conversation, because ultimately, if educators are comfortable having these difficult discussions, then they're impacting hundreds, thousands of students. So I will say that we have over 100 educators this year at the symposium. That means we're definitely going to impact thousands of students because of their conversation. They will elevate our discussion. They will ask the critical thinking types of concerns that emerge from the stories that we share. We're really happy with the progress of this year's symposium. As of yesterday, we're at 300 registered people. And that's a big deal, considering last year we were 129 registered. So we've doubled, and our eyes are wide with, my goodness, that's a big number. But we're also very happy that the conversation will be shared by that large group of people, with a third of them being educators.
My guest today is Dr. Dwayne Dickens. He's a coordinator for the Academy for Teaching Excellence at Tulsa Community College. He's also a board member of the John Hope Franklin Center for Reconciliation. He's chair of the Curriculum Committee. The 2019 National Reconciliation in America Symposium begins tomorrow evening and runs through Friday. This year's theme is Civic Engagement and Reconciliation, the Survival of Democracy. Sounds like a very potent theme. And you know, when I think about civic engagement today, when you look around, there are simultaneously efforts to expand that civic engagement, but also to contract that civic engagement. And when you look at it across America, for the most part, that expansion and contraction seems to be a lot of times for partisan political reasons. How do you get beyond that? And I assume that's probably part of this goal during the symposium, is to think beyond partisan civic engagement, but community civic engagement.
Yes. And you know, our goal is, self-interest is always a difficult item to get through. And so one of our sessions, and several of them, will focus on strategies for listening more than talking. And it's important when we talk about reconciliation is that we go through several stages. And I would say the last 10 years have really represented much conversation related to listening and understanding each other. And it is not a fluke that the 10th year, this symbolic year of a lot of achievement, a lot of work, is about civic engagement. Because the next step after you listen is to do something. But you want to do something in an informed manner. A lot of times people come to the table with a decision of, this is what I'm going to do for reconciliation. But we've not listened to each other's stories. You can liberate one group, and through that liberation, end up suppressing another group. That is not the goal of reconciliation. We recognize when harm has happened that it affects not only the individuals who were, one group may have perpetrated some harm, and another group has been a target, but the whole community is affected and needs that reconciliation. And a lot of times we forget about the whole community needing that healing, that harmony. So even if we're talking about the Tulsa Race Massacre, the silence that was part of it, certainly the Greenwood community was greatly harmed. Tulsa was greatly harmed as a whole. Oklahoma was harmed. The United States was harmed. The world was harmed. And the evidence of how this hurts everyone is that the John Hope Franklin Center receives thousands of visitors through the year who want to understand the story. The Oklahoma Historic Society reports the number one story that people call them about is the Tulsa Race Massacre. So if we're getting this interest across the world for this story, the magnitude is significant. And the symposium offers that opportunity to discuss what civic engagement is, which is doing something after you understand the problem better. Now, is that going to solve all the woes of the world? No, but it's certainly going to put us on the path to reconciliation. It's a constant examination. John Hope Franklin, the historian who we're named after, has that strong idea that we must constantly look back at history to re-examine history based on the values we have today and not just leave it with the values that were presiding 50 years ago. 50 years ago, it was okay, not right, for people to segregate. It was not desired, but it was okay legally to do that. Today, we have a different mindset, different tolerance level, and we definitely want people to use their representative voices to be engaged, to do what it takes to remove what is unacceptable today. And so this symposium about civic engagement and reconciliation and democracy is basically saying we as adults, we as high school students, we as college students, young and old together, generation, different belief systems, different racial groups, we must work together to be engaged, to deal with the issues that we all face.
Yes, we certainly should re-examine the past.
Yes.
But I think where we're seeing contention today is when we judge the people of the past by today's standards. Some of that is going to be inevitable mm-hmm. because by today's standards, a lot of those actions seem indefensible. Mm-hmm. But it does seem to cause a lot of contention today when we're judging the past by today's standards.
Right. And I struggle with observing how judgmental we can be regarding some of the things that have happened in the past. I'm never going to accept many of the items that happened 50 years ago. I will recognize
or
that.
Or 100 years ago.
Or 100 years ago. Yeah. We can go hundreds of years. There are things that have happened that were unacceptable at that time. And people knew, well, people stated that they knew that it was unacceptable at that time. But again, it's that, what was the prevailing sentiment at the time? What were people willing to stand up and embrace as, we're not going to allow this anymore? There are tides that happen at certain times that they emerge and say, we're going to stand up and remove this from our norms in society. Now, when we look back at those things that were acceptable based on the power and privilege of certain periods, we have to recognize that it was unacceptable at that time, but our judgment has to be tempered in terms of what can I do today to make right the people who are affected today by what happened 50 years ago. Focus on the harmony and the healing of today with recognizing that 100 years ago, the contemporaries at that time may have truly admired the characteristics of the people who are institutions that existed then and may have done great good at that time. It is possible to do great good and great harm at the same time. And often that is the case. There's a book that I have been fascinated by for the last year or so that just talks about racism without being racist. And that sort of fits the sort of idea that I'm thinking about when I look at 50, 100, 200 years back, is that racism and all sorts of isms that exist in the world could be perpetuated by an institution or by individuals without them actually being racist. Now, sometimes they can actually be racist or whatever it is that we're talking about, but often because they're embedded in the system, they're benefiting from the system, they're just doing what is self-promoting, what is according to their self-interest, which is problematic, but it's what every human tends to do. It's what's best for me, and I don't realize how it's actually suppressing or hurting others. So recognizing that all of us are somewhat possibly going to fall in that self-interest category at times, and it's going to hurt others, having a little bit of empathy and saying, this could have been me if I were in a different situation. And what we need to do as reconciliation agents is figure out ways of having some empathy while also bringing others together at the table to say, even if you harmed me, how can I create a pathway so that we can be on the same page, so that we can heal together? Because even a person who's harmed needs to be healed. The person who did the harm needs to be healed. The community that has been harmed needs to be healed. And so this is a difficult conversation because it often meets a lot of resistance. A lot of feelings are involved. When people have been hurt, the tendency is we want to hurt back. Because even though technically that does not make things better, it makes that temporary moment of I'm going to feel better hurting someone else is something we have to overcome. We have to feel better when everyone is healed, everyone is working toward a common good of being more humane, being who we were made to be. And that's a hard place to get to. It takes a lot to get there.
My guest today is Dr. Duane Dickens. He is a board member of the John Hope Franklin Center for Reconciliation. The 2019 Reconciliation in America National Symposium begins tomorrow evening. Let's talk about some of the events. Tomorrow evening, Kenneth B. Morris will be the keynote speaker, which is open to everyone in the community. It's a free event. He is the president and co-founder of the Frederick Douglass Family Initiatives. What's he going to be speaking about?
Now, he, as the great-great-great-grandson of Frederick Douglass and the great-great-grandson of Booker T. Washington, two great lineages put together, he will basically tell his story of how he got involved with civic engagement. His children, I don't want to put too many words in his mouth, but basically his children brought to light that he was not doing enough, which is often the case with all adults. The children are the ones to question, well, why aren't you doing something about this wrong? You're part of the lineage of two great civically engaged individuals in the world, and you're not doing something about civic engagement. He could not look his children in the face anymore once they started asking questions like that. So he's going to give us his story. And being from Booker T. Washington, we, of course, hope that a lot of Booker T. Washington graduates are there to see him, hear from him, and get this idea of what it means to change the world in whatever community we're in, and also to understand that children often shame us into doing what we know is the right thing to do anyway.
And Thursday evening, there'll be a community remembrance walk. Tell us a little bit about this. This is also a free event.
Yes. So yes, these two events in the evening, Wednesday and Thursday evening, we definitely want the community there in great numbers. So the Thursday event, starting at 5:30, the Wednesday one starts at 6 o'clock at the Greenwood Cultural Center, but the Wednesday one will start at the Reconciliation Park. And so we will start there basically starting with remembrance of those who were lost during the race massacre, but also just recognizing that the park is designated as a location of elevating the story of the people of color within Oklahoma. Just saying all stories need to be elevated. And John Hope Franklin says, if you don't know other people's story, you don't know your story. So this is a story that's brought to Tulsa to be placed in the same category as all of the other stories. And so we'll start there, different generations, it's intergenerational, so we really want our youth there, we want our adults there, and everyone will start walking, we'll walk through the Greenwood area, going to Archer, then to Greenwood, noting some of the locations that are significant to just understanding the Greenwood story. Then we will stop at the Greenwood Cultural Center for a moment to have a groundbreaking ceremony for the reconciliation pathway that will connect the Greenwood Cultural Center to Reconciliation Park. So this is part of the Centennial Commission's work to highlight the story of Greenwood, the story of Black Wall Street, so that when we get to the 100-year commemoration in 2021, there will be a pathway that allows us to walk from the newly designed Greenwood Cultural Center through the Mount Zion Church area all the way to the Reconciliation Park without having to go through lots of streets, but also just remember there will be things along the pathway to help us remember the story. Then we'll proceed to OSU Tulsa, where there will be a sort of a celebratory story of recognizing youth, recognizing different groups in the community, doing some great civic work. And so we want to highlight this is what's going on in our community. We'll also highlight Jaquil Jackson, our 11-year-old keynote speaker for that day, who is doing blessing bags in Chicago. And so he is a social entrepreneur. Yeah. And he was concerned about the homeless, and we're bringing him here to share his story. He's nationally known, has also visited with President Obama at one point and several other leaders. And we just want people to see that young people are doing civic engagement.
And there's actually a youth path during the symposium as
that
well.
That's correct. So yeah. We have a youth path, a youth strand that goes through the whole symposium. And so we're ready for high school students and college students. Now, even though we're at 300, which is really capacity, we would love, we're not charging for the high school and college students. So we're letting them come in. We want them there. There are things going planned for them through the Wednesday, Thursday, Friday session. So this Thursday time, we will recognize them. We will do the blessing bags for them on that Thursday evening. But we will also plan on Friday morning. We're planning to go to the Gilcrease Museum to see an exhibit there that really discusses civic engagement as well. So we're trying to do more interactive items that will appeal to that demographic, recognizing that we don't need to talk about reconciliation and leave them out of the story. They are critical to civic engagement, to reconciliation, and to our democracy.
Well, we wish you great success with the symposium. If people want information about some of the sessions, I know you said you're pretty much at capacity. I imagine if somebody really wants to go, you could find room.
We'll find room. We'll kick ourselves out.
Yeah. So, and how do they get information?
Well, if you go to the John Hope Franklin website, which would be jhfcenter.org, you'll see a link for the National Symposium, which will provide the link for registration, provide the agenda, the presenters, all of the information that you need.
Dr. Duane Dickens is a board member of the John Hope Franklin Center for Reconciliation. Their annual national symposium opens tomorrow evening with a keynote address, which is free to the public, by Kenneth B. Morris, acclaimed author and descendant of Frederick Douglass and Booker T. Washington. He'll be speaking tomorrow evening at 6 o'clock at the Greenwood Cultural Center. The symposium continues Thursday and Friday at the Hyatt Regency Tulsa. For information, visit jhfcenter.org. Well, that's Studio Tulsa for today. Our program is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. The views of our guests and commentators are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of KWGS or its licensee, the University of Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Thanks for listening.